Hi, welcome to Hot Topics Live, the show, the podcast. I'm Kia Baker, and I am the creator and host of the Female Veterans Podcast, Woman Warrior Stories for the Veterans Channel, and success coach at London Real Academy. Today, we have an incredible guest with an incredible topic. We are going to be talking about her new series. So I have the creator and producer of Masked, the docuseries, in the house, and we're going to talk about that, her podcast, Let's Break the Silence, and so much more. But first, next to me, I have my number one, my most beautiful, sensational, amazing, and talented co-host. And she always makes sense, more sense than ever.
You have to. Well, my name is Gloria Goldberg. I'm the founder of the podcast Unbreakable Life with Glory, and also the founder and the creator of the bilingual show, The Gloria, that we also talk about depression, anxiety, and PTSD live every Wednesdays.
I love that show. So, honey, how you been doing?
Oh, Kia, I've been doing a lot of stuff. Like, thank God I'm busy. Because, you know, right now I'm going through a big change in my life. If I'm not being busy, I probably would be worse. So I've been writing my book. I already finished my first chapter.
That's amazing.
And I'm going into my second chapter right now. And also, you know, doing my show every Wednesday in Espanol. There's a lot of things coming on for me in Espanol. Remember I said, I don't know why, but the Espanol is like it's like a calling me. And also I'm moving in December to another location, so I'm super happy. There's a lot of things happening, so
big transitions in your life. But yes, you know what they say, we don't often get these big momentous changes, those points in our life where we can start everything over if we want, and we get to make all the choices to create the life that we want to be living. And so usually we hate those moments because they're hard and they suck and they're usually emotional. Yes. But if you switch the perspective a little bit, you see that this is an amazing opportunity to really live your best, most juiciest, exciting life ever, if you make it that way.
That's true. But you know what, Kia? We dramatize everything. Like, I know every change is hard, but we dramatize that. We make it more of what it is. And everything is related from our childhood. Because when we are going through these changes, the only thing that comes out is our little girl or the little boy that we have inside of us. The immaturity, the insecurity, the fears, and all that stuff. But like you say, when the things pass, you look at the things differently. But at the same time, going through the journey is sometimes very complicated. But I, with this situation that I'm going right now, the transition, we dramatize everything. So for the next time, I don't think I'm going to do the same thing.
Well, you know what? I know that when I was going through all the transitions I've been through the last 3 years in my life, I mean, I went from being a stay-home mom, taking care of my kids, to like running my own company, single mom, like everything changed, like a complete 180. By the way, we have someone, shout out to our friends from the UK.
Oh, hello.
Thank you for watching. I appreciate you. And as you know, Hot Topics Live is a global show. So we have our guests from all over the world, co-hosts from all over the world, and people who watch from all over the world. So we love everybody here. It's a safe space. So today we have our girl Angeline back with us. And now Angeline, she could really talk about how to transition in life. Like, she is an expert on how to reinvent yourself, how to create the career and the life that you love after suffering some serious, serious trauma. And that's huge because, you know, we're all going through things people know nothing about. Like, every single person really is. That's why we should always be kind to one another, right?
Completely.
Because you never know what somebody's going through. And Angeline, she's been a guest on our show for a while. She is one of the co-hosts of our verbal abuse series on Instagram. And she is a domestic violence survivor. Okay. And now she's an advocate. And I, so in the female veterans podcast world, there's a lot of podcasts that are hosted by female veterans now. And when I started, there weren't very many. But one of my favorites, I'm going to give them a shout out. It's called the Effed Up Mind podcast on Instagram. It's called It's Effed Up. And they are championing domestic violence. And one of the things that they always have on their signs, if you check out their Instagram, you'll see it, is it says, "Why aren't we talking about domestic violence anymore?" Now, this strikes me because I remember, maybe you remember this, Gloria, when we were younger, there used to be all these PSAs and like commercials about educating you on different things. And one of them was domestic violence. And it was like a big push to like end domestic violence. And now you don't hear anything about that
right
anymore, right?
Yes. It's like a we reverse. Mm-hmm. Like it's okay and cool to these things happening, and it's happening more and more and more and more. And after during the pandemic, it was worse for a lot of women.
Yeah, for real though, because you're trapped with your abuser, and men too, because men get abused too.
Yes,
like, we're not
going to
pretend
course.
Because there are narcissists of both male and female. Okay, yes. But you're trapped in the house with your abuser. And there was a time when it was like, we need to talk about domestic violence. We need to talk about it. And now all the sudden, it feels like deafening silence about this topic anymore. And so I'm really interested in bringing out Angeline and finding out what her thoughts are on that. Oh, Jackie, that was my mom's name, by the way. I saw a news story last week about teaching 14-year-olds about consent. You know what? It's necessary, unfortunately.
Yes.
It's necessary, unfortunately, Jackie. I mean, my son is 14 years old and I'm raising men, and I had to teach him no means no, right?
Exactly.
And how to treat a woman. So it's necessary. You got to start as early as they are mentally and emotionally capable of handling that, I think. So without further ado, let's bring in Angeline. Yes. Oh, from Russia. Look, we've got a guest. We've got a viewer from Russia. Shout out to Russia. I got some friends there. Hi, Angeline. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And it's so great to be back with you and Gloria. Oh, my goodness. I'm just like so happy and elated to be back here again.
I'm so happy too. I'm very happy to be here again, and especially with you.
Look at all the love in this place.
On Instagram all the time.
So, Angeline, where are you, and what time is it now?
Right now, I am in Saratoga Springs, New York, and the time right now is 3:23 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And you, Gloria?
I'm in beautiful Florida, hot and humid, 3:23 Eastern time.
And for me, I am on the gorgeous west coast of the United States in the Pacific Northwest, where it is stunningly gorgeous and a little bit rainy at this time of year. Mm-hmm. It is 12:23 p.m. And from the east coast to the west coast, we're here bringing that positive energy. Ah, Jackie says, hi, Angeline.
Hi, Jackie. I love Jackie.
Yes, 8:20 p.m. And you know, I work for, my headquarters is in London. I work with a company called London Real. And we just are teaching our DeFi course and teaching about crypto and trading, crypto trading. And so I love the UK, Jackie. In fact, the first time Gloria and I ever saw each other was in London. We had a smashing time.
I saw pictures of that.
Yeah. Yeah, we love London. We should do it again. We should do it again.
Yes, anytime. I'm ready.
So, Angeline, we were just talking about domestic violence. And I know that you have a podcast. It's called Let's Break the Silence. And I see you posting episodes all the time, which always makes my heart feel happy, being that little, it's a little known that I gave you a crash course in podcasting.
I know. Last year, I think you were one of my first guests on my podcast.
I was.
Oh, my goodness. I know. And at that time, I knew very little about podcasting, but I always had the vision of starting a podcast and the idea. So when you gave me that crash course in podcasting, my head was spinning.
I know. It's a lot to learn in like 2 hours.
2 hours. She gave me a crash course. He is great. I was like, wow. I love podcasting though.
It is so
awesome.
It's awesome. You know, it's because it's a great way to get your message out there to your audience. And oh, thank you. Yes. So my podcast, you can find me on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and pretty much anywhere. So you listen to the podcast. Yes. Yes. It's all about breaking the silence and helping women find their voice, giving women a platform to talk about their experience and how they went from pain to pleasure and how they turned their mess into a message and helping them rediscover themselves and regain their power. That's huge because it's not talked about.
Yeah.
It's not talked about. So I'm really happy and blessed to have this podcast, to start the podcast. I started the podcast right before the pandemic hit last year. Mm-hmm. So when the pandemic hit last year, I said, it's time to scale up. I had a little self-talk with myself. I was having a cup of tea in my living room. This is when everything shut down. This is when all, if you recall, everything shut down. And I said to myself, it's time to scale up. It's time to reach the masses and get my message out there. So I've been interviewed on Inspire News Radio. I've been interviewed on other some of the top radio networks in the country, one in Canada. And right now that podcast episode is on iHeartRadio. So yeah, so it's huge because last year during the pandemic, domestic violence was on the increase. It really blew up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We talked about it on the show, actually.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people were shut in. They had no place to go. They literally had no place to go. They were shut in. So it was, you know, sink or swim. And I remember a friend of mine from New York City called me. This was last year, right during the pandemic. She had no idea what to do. She felt trapped. She was verbally abused, physically abused, and she had a child. Oh, my good friend Pam is here. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Pam.
Staunch supporter.
Oh, I love that.
Supporter, she is. And she herself is a domestic violence survivor, and she's made great strides.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. You know,
I have a question, Angeline. You know, we know there's a lot of violence for many, many years, for centuries, for like the chains of families being women being abused. And I ask this question to myself all the time. If we are the ones who create life and we are the ones who have the babies and we have men and men come from us, why men treat us so bad when we suppose we are the ones who teach them? So it must be something that happens in the chain that it turns down around. Because if you have a kid, 3, 4 years, 5, 6 years old, you're not gonna let that kid to insult you or treat you bad, or even an adult. And I see that in a lot of cultures, it's so normal to just treat the mother bad, and the kid learned that, and so the kid when grows up goes to a family and do the same thing. So when this happened, like, why we are the creators of humans, why men are like that?
You know, and that's a very good question. I feel it's low self-esteem, and it goes back to childhood. Now, in my case, when I was married, I didn't know at the time of my ex's past. So he didn't have a, he'd had an up and down relationship with his mother. So what happened was I found out that he was in the room, in his bedroom. He was like, I don't know, I don't recall, but he was, you know, not a teenager yet, but his mom threw a shoe at him in the bedroom. So that probably stuck inside of his head. I don't know. I mean, probably yes. But, they hide things, okay? Like in my case, he was hiding a lot of things that I didn't know about, his past. So I found out later that he had dated other women, and he did the same thing to them that he did to me, except mine was worse because we were married.
So I have a thought about this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think a lot of it, because we're programmable from the time we're born to about 12.
Right.
I think a lot of it has to do with environment and what we see and experience. So, for example, it may not have been that his mother threw a shoe at him that triggered him into like either having the self-esteem low enough to need to build himself up on someone else's suffering.
Right.
But it could have been that display of uncontrolled anger.
Right. Exactly. Right?
And yeah. So he learned, okay, if I get really angry, then I lash out.
Correct.
You know, or it could be I slam doors, or I, you know, this is how I respond to my anger. Because we had a men's communication coach on here. He's coming back next month. I'm really excited to see.
Oh, good.
And he was talking about that unregulated emotions and the nervous system and the connection mm-hmm. between the two. And so I think when men, and this could go for women too, right? Are not taught or modeled behavior on how to properly manage strong emotions, that's kind of part of why, and coupled with the low self-esteem and everything like that. So, Jackie says, oh, she doesn't think you should minimize their abuse, married or not. It's not nice for anyone. No, I don't think that's what she was doing, Jackie. I don't think that was the intention. We never minimize abuse here.
No.
In fact, Angeline's story. So she's been on Hot Topics. Is this the third time or the fourth?
Third time.
Okay. And so the two times before, you can probably, I don't think they're on the new YouTube channel, but on our Hot Topics Live Facebook page, you can, if you go back through, we have a lot of episodes, it's almost been 2 years.
I know.
But if you go back through the episodes, you can see Angeline's story. And her husband, she was married for 10 years before her husband assaulted her for the first time. The story is really mind-blowing. And definitely there's nothing minimum about his abuse. Okay.
And oh, no, how he not was, at all. Not
you
at
know,
all.
And how you had to escape that. What does this say? We froze. Can you see us now? I see you guys. I didn't see any freezing.
I see too.
Okay. Maybe it's not on our end, but it is a little rainy here. And that does usually affect my signal, Jackie. So anyways, Angeline, yep. I was going to ask you about this that Gloria brought up, right? About what could be some of the causes for people to become abusive. And I think men or women, mm-hmm. you said low self-esteem. How do you think that really sort of causes that? Like, what would you say, or what have you found through your interviews that supports low self-esteem being one of the reasons?
One of the reasons is, I feel it's the way they were brought up, and I'm not minimizing this at all. It's the way that they were raised. So if their parents, you know, constantly put them down and didn't make them feel worthy, then that will stick in their brain. Okay. Now, for example, what happened to my ex? Okay. He internalized it. And then he decided, okay, you know, anger, you know, he, you know, but he would get angry at me about something stupid. Okay. And he would lash out. He would start screaming and yelling at me, and he would put me down. And, you know, it's just, yeah, I know. I know Pam's story. I do. Yeah.
So sad.
Yeah, I know.
But also I'm here thinking what you guys are saying, for any reaction, you need to learn it, because you do stop because you learned it. And I'm going to talk about my case. I've been in the two sides. I can be they abuse me, and can I be abuser? And I remember in my case, my father abused my mother. So I learned that. I learned that. And not because I want to be like that. I learned it. And I have anger, and I have all that kind of stuff. I learned to do that. So I would say in the main case, because this is both. In men case, it's also they learn it. Yeah, they throw the shoe. He saved that anger, but he have to learn in some way how to treat women and how women to treat men. So I think those things is learn.
Environment. So it's what they watch. It has to do with, you know, what they
watching.
See.
That they were in, absolutely. And both of us came from a Greek family. So, you know, in the Greek family, it's not happening anymore, but I call it old school, that the men are dominant.
Latino culture is the same thing.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So you have to do whatever I say or else.
Exactly.
Yeah, not right.
Mm-mm, it's not right.
No, they treat women like possessions.
So, Angeline, what are some of the stories that stand out in your mind that you've heard on your podcast?
Okay, okay. So the stories, there's a couple of women who I interviewed back in the summertime, and they're both from Chattanooga, Tennessee, and they both went through physical abuse, verbal abuse. There is one lady from the UK who I'm going to interview on my podcast. She was raped at the age of 14. Aww. So, and she is now a speaker, a motivational speaker. Talk about turning your life around.
Wow.
Yeah, she is going to. So the two women who I interviewed, one of them now is a counselor now. So she managed to, but she was in a very, very bad relationship. It was actually worse than mine. I mean, physically assaulted multiple times. And, you know, verbally abused. Now, in both of these cases, these women had children. So the process was more difficult, but they were able to overcome that through a lot of mindset work. So, and that's similar to mine. Where, you know, during my transition, I was doing a lot of personal development work. I recall that one of them bought courses, you know, personal development courses, similar to what I did. So just it was, you know, a transition that they went through. They worked on themselves and they didn't jump. Now they're both, now one of them remarried and they're doing very well. And she is also a country singer. You know, she's working her way up. And the other, her young lady, she is a counselor. So she deals with this stuff all day long. So, you know, she,
wow.
Yeah, she works with them. So they both managed to turn their life around, but their stories are, they stand out so much that they will be part of the which we're going to go into, it's the first series. They will be in the first series along with the other woman who wrote a book and the one who was, you know, unfortunately raped at the age of 14, and her father, her father arranged a marriage for her, which obviously didn't, obviously was really horrible. And she managed to turn it around. Now she's a motivational speaker. She speaks on TED Talk, and she wrote a book, and she is a life coach, and she lives in London. She lives in the UK. Can you imagine that? Yeah.
Incredible. So, Angeline, I have a question for you. Okay. So, you have managed to turn your life around and really have been just hard charging since I met you. And I want to know, you said mindset work. What were some of the strategies that you put in place to change your life? Because whether you've been through domestic violence or not, there comes points in your life where you're unhappy and you really feel like you need to change your life. So what are some of the things that we can do?
Okay, the first thing I did was took ownership. So if you're, so for myself, 11 years ago, I had to take ownership of the fact that, you know, I deserved a better life for myself. And I had to take ownership that I was in this toxic relationship and I needed to make a change in my life. And it was a huge change because I went from being, you know, I was like almost homeless. I was I was just not in a very good place, but I started to surround myself with people who were on a higher level. And I took courses. I did a lot of mindset work. I did a lot of inner healing work because that's, I had to, you know, heal myself. I didn't jump into another relationship. I just worked on myself. Yes. That's it. And, you know, I worked on myself. And so the more I did that, you know, like mindset, doing meditations, doing chakra meditations and deep breathing exercises, because, you know, that used to make me feel anxious. Now I can do it with no problem. But I used to feel anxious doing deep breathing, just doing deep breath work, you know, just to calm myself. And I gave myself time. I was patient with myself. So if there was a trigger, I didn't fight it. So if there was something that someone said that made me feel anxious, I would just work through it. And then I would do like a cleanse. And then the next day it would be all right. I had a good night's sleep. So, you know, but it's a lot of mindset work. It's making that shift. You can no longer say, oh, I'm stuck. I mean, I used to say that. I used to say, I feel stuck. No, you don't feel stuck. You can do something about it, but you have to have that passion and burning desire and fire within you to do that. And I was able to make that shift. And I started going to conventions. I started going to workshops. I remember traveling up here, attending a women's event. And I was like, wow, there's a whole world up here. So I made a 1-year plan that I was going to move up here to Saratoga Springs. And I did it. I did it. It perseverance and, you know, resilience. That's what it takes. But, you know, like I know what Gloria is going through right now. I went through the same thing. It's no different. I would go places. I would go places by myself, take a meditative walk in the park and just learn to do things by myself. I had to learn that because that whole time when I was married, I felt that we were stuck together. You know what I'm saying? Like I felt alone. And I remember being on another podcast a couple of weeks ago. I had touched on that. It is better for me in my life. I live by myself. So I make my own decisions and I do my own thing and I don't have to answer to anyone. And I still, and I, you know, I like that. I like that kind of lifestyle, the single life agrees with me. And I remember 11 years ago, I said, you know what? The single life is going to be really good for me. It allowed me a chance to grow and to really learn, you know, who's Angeline. I had to rediscover myself. You know, I had to go through the steps and put in the work. No one did it for me. I did it.
So how did you get over the crippling fear of leaving your abuser? Like there's a whole psychological, a lot of things that are barriers, I guess I would say is the word, in place that the abuser puts in place to keep you stuck or to keep you codependent on them.
Right, correct.
And then part of that is a huge fear of being alone or of leaving. How did you work through that?
I work through it very slowly, but I can tell you this. Let's talk about codependency. I went for therapy for 1 year. So I realized that I was in a codependency relationship, which was not good. Like, for example, he would love bomb me, maybe meaning he would write love letters to me, the love bombing, which caused me, oh, okay, I don't need friends. He wouldn't allow me to see my friends. He wouldn't allow me to even go see my parents. Yeah, because of all that love bombing he did, and then things would be okay for a couple of weeks, and then the same thing would happen all over again until I reached my breaking point. So in May of 2010, I woke up one morning with an epiphany, and I had talked about this in this previous podcast, but I woke up with an epiphany that I was going to file for divorce. I was going to regain control of my life. That's what I'm trying to say. I need to take control of my life, and I need to take charge of this because this is not good for me. We were living in a two-story Cape house, and I had to move upstairs. So, I had to get a limited order of protection because I had no place to go. So, and there were times when I had to call the police, and they would tell me that I had to leave. Not order him to leave. Me, I had to leave. And I remember one time I called up a good friend of mine at the last minute. I just basically begged her. I said, I need a place to stay for at least a couple of days. She said, no problem. So it was because I was in a panic, and I was calling her right in front of them. There were two New York State troopers and a sheriff, and they knew my situation. And I said, I just can't take this because, he was yelling and screaming and he almost hit me. And I had the phone with me. I recorded it. I called the police and was just, and this was in the middle of the day.
And they said that you have to leave.
Right.
It does happen to a friend of mine too. Exactly. Yeah. I don't understand that.
That's part of the problem.
I don't understand. It happens the same thing on my friend. She has to leave. She has to leave her own house.
Yeah. You know how many times I had to leave my house?
Why?
The girl that went missing, you guys heard of the Gabby Petito case, right?
Yeah.
When the cops found them fighting, or they got reported that they were fighting, when they pulled them over, you could see it on the videos, it's all over YouTube. At the end of that video, they made her go to a hotel and he could stay in the van that they were driving. So essentially the same thing, they made her leave and he could stay with their stuff. Why?
I don't understand that.
And that happens to me too. One time, long time ago, I have to leave and the fucking guy have to be at home, stay at home.
Yeah. And here they knew my situation. Oh, no, they said you have to leave. And I even remember one of the New York State troopers putting the suitcase in the trunk of the car. I will never forget. You know how that's? Whoa. He said, we'll just help you put the suitcase in and then you can go. Take off and,
it happened twice to me now that I remember. You talked about this twice.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't understand why.
I had to go to a motel. I was like bouncing around between sleeping on sofas and motel rooms.
Yeah, and my daughter don't have any money.
Yeah, well.
So what is the problem there? Why when women get into this, why the woman is the one have to leave and the guy have to stay at home?
I don't know.
I think it should depend on who is the aggressor. In the situation. And I think that has to be, the determination has to be made. But I think in these situations, a lot of times when the cops get called, people don't want to necessarily give it. Because I think in a lot of abusive relationships, it's secretive. So they don't want to get maybe the abuser in trouble, male or female now.
Right. You know?
And they don't really want them to get in trouble because there's also that bit of like toxic bond, right?
And also I hear that the first who make the call is the one who wins. So for example, if I make the call first, it's more chances that he needs to leave But if you make the call, I'm the one who have to leave.
Imagine it's difficult for cops to also to determine, like by interviewing the people separately, to determine who's the actual aggressor, because narcissists are really charming and they are very slippery and convincing too. They buddy a buddy up with the cops and whatever.
Oh, he used to do that. He would buddy up with the cops.
And make you you think you are the crazy one.
There you go.
Gaslighting.
Exactly. Crazy. We are crazy.
And then the cops are unwittingly used as flying monkeys and or used to help abuse the abuser further. Or the abusee, I should say. So they're helping the abuser abuse you further without even knowing it, because they're being manipulated by a narcissist who's charming and funny and buddying up with the cops.
And
with a nice voice in the phone, like, you know, I'm so good manners. She's crazy. She's doing this.
And he did this all behind my back because I was working for other companies. So this is what he was doing the whole time. And I found out from the police chief. So, you know, but at the end, towards the end, before I moved, I had to call the police again because he wouldn't let me in the house so I could pack my stuff because I was moving up here. So they finally put, so you know what they did? They came over, they said, wait here. They would always keep the party separate. Okay. So I was outside. They took him inside. You know what they told him? Leave. That was the only time they told him to leave.
Wow.
Yeah. So he left and he was gone for 2 hours. And I ended up going to a hotel, and the owner paid for my room because during the last month, he paid for my room and everything. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He said, I know you're going through this and I know you don't have all the money yet. So he said, I'll just put you up for a couple of days. So don't worry about it. I said, I'll just pay for meals and stuff. But no, he was really nice. He was very nice about it. He put me up in a nice suite for two.
Oh, really nice.
But he said, listen, I know that you're going to be moving and I know all your situation. And he used to be a client. He was a client. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he was like totally on my side. So.
That must have felt like such relief.
It was. And then my friends came to visit me because they knew that I was leaving. You know, I was in the process of moving. I mean, I had boxes already packed upstairs in the room. And the only thing they had to take was just, I mean, I moved with like minimal things.
Mm-hmm.
A twin bed, an old sofa, a chair. And I didn't even have a dining room table. I had to go out and buy one, you know. But then once I got settled in and everything was, and the divorce was smooth, then I was able to buy new furniture.
How did you feel that first night that you were away in your own place? How was that for you?
I felt like 50 million pounds was lifted off my shoulders. Oh yeah, it was a huge relief. I remember walking upstairs. At this time, I lived in an older building in, you know, a small one-bedroom apartment, but it was a roof over my head. So, you know, but I remember walking upstairs, unlocking the door, walking inside. I'm like, thank you, Lord, for keeping me safe.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were times where I thought I wasn't going to make it, you know.
Did you think he would kill you?
No. When that incident happened in 1999, where he threw me against the wall and I fell backwards and I had bleeding nose and all bruised up, I thought, you know, that was going to be the end. That was going to be the end of my life. But nope, the good Lord said, no. You're staying here on this earth because God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. And, you know, I'm a firm believer in God. I actually reconnected, you know, with God. And I would read Bible scriptures too. And, you know, I did go to church as much as I don't really go to church now. I just watch live stream, but I consider myself a Christian. So, but I remember the priest in Kingston, New York, helped me. He, you know, helped me work through it too. So I had support from the church, which was really good at that time. So, because he said, there's no way you can suffer like this anymore. But I remember turning that key into the apartment and I was like, I am so relieved. And there were boxes all over the place. I didn't care. I just, it was a breakthrough.
You just sleep over the boxes.
Yeah. I slept on a twin bed for 3 months until I finally bought myself a nice queen bed set, which I still have, you know? So, yeah.
A queen for the queen. That's right, exactly there, what I bought, a twin bed for a queen.
I actually gave the twin bed away to one of the maintenance guys who used to work, you know, for the landlord. So he wanted it. Yeah, he told me. He said, yeah, I said, take it. Take whatever you want.
Wow. Yeah. And just amazing, an amazing story. And to see you now thriving with your podcast and interviewing women who have suffered. And now you're working on a new series. So let's talk about that. How did that come about?
Oh, my God. Oh, the docuseries. Yes. So here's how it came about. It was a few months ago. A friend of mine and I, we were talking, and she had this idea of, you know, of a movie about, you know, domestic violence survivors thriving, you know, about empowerment and everything. She had the idea, but I bought the idea from her, okay, which made me the founder, because on the business side, she didn't know how to handle, you know, what the business was. But I also had a vision for the of having a movie too. So she had, you know, she had come up with some ideas. We talked about it, and then it sat on the shelf for about a few months until I hired a business consultant. And so I was working with my business consultant on a plan, you know, to make this a reality, because she was not capable of handling the business side of it, because there's a lot involved. There's a lot involved, you know, as far as a docuseries, you know, there's the production company. There's just so much involved. But, you know, the idea of having a docuseries, I said, you know what, we need to bring this out in the open. The film is needed more than ever, because I feel, and I still feel, that domestic violence is not talked about enough. Mm-mm. It's swept under the carpet. You know, there is a woman who I know really well. She lives in New York City, and her sister is a domestic violence survivor, but she has brain damage.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is, you know, that made me cry. I was like, oh, my God.
It's horrible, because it's not always a happy ending.
No,
it's not always a happy ending, and there's no retribution. They're not held accountable. You know, we're not here to, you know, but the docuseries is to bring stories of empowered people and to who have been subjected to domestic abuse, and we want to show them that, you know, you can thrive after domestic abuse. So these are real life stories, bringing surrealism into a movie, real life stories.
It's a documentary film,
right? Documentary film.
So is this going to be like a series, or is it a feature length? Is it a short film? Is it a TV series?
It's going to be a series. So the first season, we're going to film 3 episodes, and one of them is the woman from the UK. Mm-hmm. So she will be, you know, so it would be herself and the 2 ladies who I talked about who live in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So it'll be the first season, and then there'll be another season, which will be, you know, next year. But as soon as we wrap up the deal with the sponsors and the investors, we're off to the races. I'm going to be traveling. So
wonderful.
Yeah. So we want to empower. This is all about empowerment. The series is all about, docuseries is all about empowerment, healing after domestic abuse. So domestic violence, because what the ladies went through is far worse than what I went through. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went through a lot, but they have gone through many, you know, rape. It's just, I was never raped, thank God.
Mm-hmm. I know, I feel that. I hear these stories so often on the Female Veterans Podcast. And I actually hear about domestic violence happening in the military too on my show. So it never gets easier to hear these stories from women. And I'm sure it happens to men too. It's just that I happen to interview women, so I hear the stories more.
And actually, I'm going to start to be interviewing men too. There have been who have come forward to, you know, and they've shared their story with me privately. So I took it to the next step.
And yeah, because there's some men that are being abused by women too.
Right.
Verbally, physically, emotionally, financially. Let's talk about financial abuse. No one ever talks about financial abuse. Look it up, honey. It is a thing.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
People use money to control.
Use the kids to control.
And people will use money by keeping you poor to abuse you.
That's what he did. So listen to this. You know what he would do? He would talk me in. He talked me into having joint accounts. Now I know why. Joint bank accounts, joint credit card accounts. So I found out he was writing balance transfer checks to the credit card company against our credit to buy mutual funds. That's commingling. Oh. And I was $50,000 in the hole. Financial and that was all paid off. You know who had to pay it off?
You.
And some companies, they settled for half. But like I can't get a Barnes & Noble credit card anymore. Even though I paid half of the balance off. Nope.
So sad. You see, and you know, so controlling the money so that you can't do anything, or demanding money. Yes, demanding large sums of money from your partner. Some men might be familiar with that. You know? And you know, but on a repetitive basis in order to exert control. See, it always comes to intention.
And also there's some women that use the kids to with the alimony, with the
child support.
With child support. That's they said, if you don't give me this, if you don't give me this amount, you're not gonna see the kids. Like, why the kids?
Yeah. The kids suffer too. Of course. And then they develop inner child wounds, and then they have to grow up and heal them.
Right, and they have to unlearn all that. I know. That's the biggest part is unlearning. But the docuseries, I cannot wait for.
It sounds exciting. So let me see if I have this right. You're creating a series, a limited series, because it's only a few episodes a year. Correct. And it's all about showing how you can overcome being abused. So you're a survivor. And how you can go from survivor to thriver.
There you go.
And how to share that information with women who might be in an abusive relationship, or men, and how to get out and how to rebuild your life in a way that you are happy and living a fulfilled, enriched life.
Exactly.
Sounds wonderful. What do you think, Gloria?
It's wonderful. I saw the other day a story of a woman that she got divorced when she was 65 years old. Mm. And when she got divorced, she didn't have enough money. So she said that she had to rebuild her life again. So she went to live in a very small apartment. Right. This is what she did. She found two part-times, very low stressful, with no stress, two part-times. And she was living living budget by budget every month. And every month in the beginning, she can save $1.50. And she said she don't care, she put it away. The next month was, $3.
Right.
And she keep going. And now she said that she living more happier, more tranquil. She don't have no worries. She keeping the jobs. She have money saved. But she start for $1.50
oh,
for nothing.
Wow.
At 65 years old.
65. I mean, well, boy, 65 isn't what it used to be anymore.
No.
Right. Oh, okay. So 65 is like the new 40.
But in my still thing, when I moved up here to Saratoga, I only had 2 months of living expenses, including rent, until I finally got, you know, my settlement. That was one month later. So.
I was a stay-home mom, mm-hmm. right? And I'm a disabled veteran, so I do have a pension. Right. So I have some income that always comes in, but it wasn't enough to manage a household, 2 kids,
no.
and, you know, and to take care of that. And now I'm so proud to say I put my baby in private school this year.
Oh, congratulations.
Like I'm doing that. You know, it's me. And yes, right. I do get child support from their father. He is not a deadbeat. Thank the Lord. I'm very blessed. I'm so happy about that.
That
he does help. And, you know, as much as he can, but it's still mostly me. It's still me. And so sharing those stories, why do we share them? So that people can know that it's possible, because you don't know what's possible if you never see it or hear it, right? If I never left, you know, the rough West Philly neighborhood and went to private school myself, I wouldn't have known a different way of life.
Right.
I might have fallen into a life of crime or on the streets. Mm. Maybe, who knows? I was always a nerd. I was bookish, so I'm not sure. but it's possible, right? And if you don't know, if that's all you ever see, then you don't know what else is out there for you and what's capable for you, what's possible. So I think it's beautiful what you're doing to show women, you know, mm-hmm. that are in these circumstances that, you know what, there is hope on the other side of what you're going through.
Exactly. Yeah. And I talk about hope a lot. I also have, you know, coaching. I have one-on-one coaching program mm-hmm. and group coaching. I talk about hope. Hope is everything. If you don't have hope, forget about it. So always have hope and always believe in yourself. And, you know, this docuseries is going to be amazing because of the vision. Okay. It all starts with creating that vision and being emotionally attached to that vision and dream. And when you are emotionally attached, it happens. Great things happen. You know, the whole world of abundance opens up like it's no tomorrow. And people, you need to feel that. And I feel that. I feel that. You know? And the vision of bringing these stories to real life on film. I mean, wow.
That's so exciting.
It's exciting, right? Exciting time. So who knew that a year later I would be the founder, producer, and the owner of Mast? I mean,
So when is going to be the premiere?
Yeah. Soon, we'll get started soon. So hopefully we will have it by Christmas time. Yeah.
The first episode.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. So once we have, the contracts are in, you know, in front of the investors right now. So once they sign off on them, I will be a happy camper and I'm going to be traveling. So, when it happens all at once, that's it.
Yes, that's true. It just needs to get to the point to just...
And it's going to happen because I manifest everything.
Me too. Right. I manifest this today.
Why are you here today? I love you.
I'm so happy. You know, it's like the band is back together again.
I know.
And speaking of being back together again, we have a book club sort of thing that we were doing on Instagram a while back before Gloria left to Costa Rica. And it got a little bit too difficult to do while she was in South America. So we put it on pause.
And Central America.
Central America. You were where? Costa Rica? Right. Central America. Correction. Thank you for that. For this point. So So while you were there, we put it on pause. And I'm so excited to announce that you are going to join us and Angeline is going to come back. And we are going to continue that verbal abuse book series that is on Instagram. So I know that we are new on YouTube. So if you haven't seen us on YouTube, please go find my channel and subscribe. If you can't find it, type in Hot Topics Live and Kia, K-I-A, that's my name. One of the episodes will come up and you will be able to subscribe that way. But this particular series is going to be on Instagram. So I'm going to throw up all of my Instagram stuff. So Hot Topics, the podcast, is where you can watch that particular little series, that little mini series. Yeah, series that we're doing.
I want to do that again.
Yes,
I want to do a disclaimer for that, because for the verbal abuse book, because a lot of people who like to read about verbal abuse or transformation, some people read this verbal abuse just to find if the other person is verbal abusing you. And it's okay. But at the same time, those books are for you if you are verbal abusing the other people. Because remember, we read in one chapter, we both do the same thing. We verbal abuse and they verbal abuse us.
Exactly.
So read it with an open mind is your point.
Read it with an
and
open
recognize
mind.
What you do as well. Like, don't be open to seeing what you could be doing, not just what the other, don't use it as ammunition. That's not our goal, right? No. Our goal is to help people to understand what's happening to them and what role you could be playing as well as how to get out of those situations and to heal yourself from them, because that's what the intention always is for us. Ooh. So we're going to continue with that series.
That was so much fun.
There's three or four episodes up already on our IGTV for at Hot Topics, the podcast. So
what we need to do, we need to do a refresh.
Yeah. So we'll do a recap and then we'll pick up where we left off and finish the last few episodes or few chapters. And it's been a little minute, so I might have to reread the book.
Me too. And I need it. I need for ammunition.
And the book is also on my website. So if people want to purchase it, they can do that. So.
Wonderful. That's amazing. And speaking of your website, I had it up there and I will put it back up there again. So because it's letsbreakthesilence.com, right?
Yes.
Yeah, here it is. So there's the website. That's Angeline's website. You can go find all about her podcast there, everything she's doing. I'm sure there will be a lot of information on the upcoming series. And I understand that you have a group on Facebook for the series as well, right?
Yes, I do. Yes, it's facebook.com/masked. Oh, let me just see how it came out. Oh, that's it. Yeah. Mad docuseries. That's it. So please go like our Facebook page and there will be a link that you can click on that. So you can be on, it's a waiting list. Actually, it's a waiting list. So it'll tell you all about what the docuseries is all about and save your seat. So, because once it's released, get your popcorn ready and that's it.
So Angeline, before you go, why you choose that name, Mask?
That's the Facebook page that people can go like, because we're going to be putting announcements in there, you know, especially the behind the scenes. So once we get started, you know, filming, all that content will be on that page. So,
okay, I understand that, but the title
is called Masked, right?
Yeah, correct.
Why? What made you choose that? That's what she's asking. Why did you call the show that?
Yeah, I. You know what? I'm just trying to think. I think it's because, actually, I was thinking about this morning. Like, people hide. You know what I'm saying? Like, they hide. So we're gonna unveil the mask. The mask is coming on. So that's like part of it. Yeah. Because people mask their feelings. Mm-hmm. See, they internalize that, you know, women, it goes for men too, because there are several men who have come forward and told me their story. So, and they will be a guest on my podcast soon. But I, you know, women are more, I think, they're
more open to tell their stories.
They're more open to tell their stories, but I've noticed that with men, they're not so open right away. It takes time. I think it just takes more time for them, but for women, they'll just tell their story. But it's time to unveil the mask.
Because I know I've had friends that are guys, right? In my life, I've had more guy friends than girlfriends, especially in the military. And let me tell you something. I don't know how many times I've been like, boy, what are you doing with that girl? She is crazy. Like, she is not treating you right. Like, what are you doing with her? Look how she talks to you in front of people. Like, you know, and to my friends and be like, honey, I don't think that you guys are a good match. Like, so it, you know, it does definitely go both ways. I know a large percentage of our audience is male, probably slightly larger than female now, where it used to be mostly men. Now I'm, it's so exciting to see that more women are watching too. So I'm excited about that, but
yeah,
because both people need to know, like everyone needs to know this information. And if we could help one person today, then we did our job.
And you know what? We cannot just only heal women. Mm-hmm. We need to heal men to be able to be able to make the balance in this world.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Actually, I have a little story to share with you. I went to a networking event. It was a small mixer. They call it the North Country Mixer. So the podcaster who invited me to, I was a guest on their podcast 2 weeks ago. So now there's two men. They're going to form a group now. Men, all about empowerment for men. When I heard that the other night, I was so happy to hear that. Yeah,
I would love to be in those groups.
That's really exciting. My friend Brandon, who is the men's communication coach that came on a few weeks ago, you can find his episode on both YouTube and on our Hot Topics Live Facebook page. He advocates for that, and one of the things he said was that men should go and join these groups. These men's empowerment groups, not like toxic ones though, okay? But where you're like helping each other heal and you're talking, because men need support too. And I think because of historically, we're taught, like the whole phrase is man up, right? We're taught that you have to be, even the military as women, we're taught you have to be men. You have to be tough. You have to, let's not talk about our emotions. Let's not talk about mental health. That's all the military way, but that's also the way that it's changing, but that's also the way a lot of men are brought up. Right. And so I think it's really important to change that, because when you heal your inner child wounds as a male, and when you heal, you know, from all of the negative programming you received in your life, then you are a better partner for your woman or your children or whatever. And the same thing for women. So if we're, it's like what Gloria was saying. So if we're all doing this work to heal ourselves, when we come together in these relationships, they're less likely to be toxic trauma bonds, abusive, and they're more likely to be lasting and healthy relationships and be much more fun to be in.
Exactly.
So that could be one of the requirements for dating. Like the first is, do you enjoy any group, men groups, or are you healing?
Where are you at in your healing journey?
And there was a guy that was actually talking that night, and he was like so excited, you know?
And men heals very fast. Heal very fast.
They drop weight fast. They heal fast.
They do.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
I love men.
I do too. They're my favorite.
Oh my God. I cannot live without them.
I mean, do they get on my nerves sometimes?
Of course.
Yes. Of course.
And we do too.
For the world? Never. Oh, of course.
Remember, we can turn be crazy. So.
I mean, right. Even the nicest, sweetest girl can be a little bit loony sometimes.
Yeah, of course. We are in the right circumstances.
Right. That's true.
I'm just kidding.
We are loony today.
Well, my loves, we are at 1 hour and 4 minutes, so we are going to wrap up the show soon. But before we do, Angeline, is there anything else you would like to share about your series or your message of breaking the silence?
Yes, my message is there's hope, because without hope, there's nothing. And also share your message. Do not be silent. Share your message with the world. I had to learn how to be vulnerable. I mean, I was vulnerable and transparent in sharing my story on your podcast last year, plus other podcasts. Mm-hmm. Great things happen when you step out of your comfort zone. I can tell you, you know, so step out of your comfort zone. If you feel stuck, you know, if you feel you're in a bad place, you can always reach out. You know, people could reach out to me for help, but it's doing that work. But my message is, you can turn your best into a message. And the docuseries is the same thing. Okay, it's all about empowerment, but more so turning your mess into a message. Wow. So there's going to be a big message when the docuseries, when the first series is released. It's a huge message. So just be ready, because it's going to be huge. Because society needs this. This docuseries is needed in the society and in this world we live in. There's not a day that goes by that when people come to me, and women and men, and, you know, like, they'll tell me, you're the beacon of light in this dark world we live in.
Aww.
Yeah, that's sometimes cry. I do. I have to admit, I do cry sometimes, but that's just a breakthrough, so I don't fight it. So if I feel like crying, I'm going to cry.
Of course. I love to cry. I cry every day. That's my new sport.
We're cleansing ourselves. So don't fight your emotions. If you feel like crying, just cry.
Okay? I like to feel super clean. So that's why I cry every day.
I like that. Have tissues with you. You know.
All the time.
I just love hanging out with you ladies.
I'm the customer number one from Kleenex.
Funny.
Whatever is necessary to help you heal, do that. Do that. Oh, George, you're so sweet. Sending you so much love, George.
Oh, George.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Tuning in. I appreciate you. So, Angeline, I gotta say, thank you so much for being a guest on Hot Topics Live today. Your message is an important one. I always want to share it, because you never know who is suffering. It could be your neighbor. It could be a friend. It could be a loved one. You never know who's suffering in silence. And if we can learn to understand a bit more, then we can help a bit more. So thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. And thank you for having me here. Thank you,
Angeline.
Back on the show, Gloria. You've made a transformation.
Still doing it.
You're still doing it, but I've seen great strides. You've made great strides, so keep up the great work. You're doing great. It's always good to be here with you.
Thank you so much.
The pleasure. Well, Angeline, I am going to put you in the green room. If you have time to say a proper goodbye, we'll meet you there shortly. If not, we understand, and we'll catch up with you later.
Okay.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye.
Wow.
That was some show.
Awesome. Yeah, I hope we helped people.
We do help people.
Well, I mean, that's a given, but I really hope that it got through to someone who needed it today, you know, so, or who, whenever they see this, because a lot of people watch it in the replay, and then I get the feedback from then. So I love that feedback, by the way. If you have watched Hot Topics until now, you're still with us, then you are part of our soul family. So don't be a stranger. Come back and watch us. We're on Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, or watch the replay anytime, make sure you just drop us a message. Let us know where you're watching from, or give us some feedback. You're always welcome to send us a message on our Hot Topics Live Facebook page. Or if you like, you can send me a message on my Instagram at Kiativity. So you can reach out to me there if you want to connect with me. It's better to send me a follow me. Actually, it's better to follow me on Instagram than it is to send me a friend request on Facebook, because I'm seldom on Facebook. So if you're trying to connect with me, do it there, one of those places. And that's how you will connect with me if you want to. So, and as for Gloria, well, Gloria has a new Instagram. So if you've been watching Hot Topics for a while, you will recognize that it's different now. So if you want to follow Gloria, go to Instagram and follow her at GloriaGold1313. Why is it 1313 now, Gloria, and not 1111?
Well, 1313 has been the number I always like. And I changed it before at the beginning was Gloria Gold 13. And I changed it for Gloria Gold 1111. And then now that I'm studying sacred numbers, and I understand the meaning of 13, and I say, you know what? I'm going to put Gloria Gold 13, and they already have it. So I have to put 1313. So that's why I changed it.
I love that. I like the number 13. You know, I grew up and my house number was 1717. So that has always been a magic number for me. So if you look up angel numbers, you'll be able to see what it means.
Yeah.
So Gloria, thank you so much for being my co-host today. It is such a pleasure to have you back in the house and with me. And I love that.
No, I'm so happy to be here with you. You know, I love you so much. And, you know, I told you in the beginning, since I met you, you are my friend forever. And that's what I am for you, or you are for me. And every time you need me, you know, I'm here if I can. And we always going to support each other in anything we do. You know that.
Absolutely. And so what do you have going on? Before we wrap the show, what can we expect from Unbreakable Life with Glory or the bilingual show, The Gloria?
Well, the bilingual show, The Gloria, is already booked until completely November. I'm going to have a hypnotherapist. I'm going to have feng shui. I'm going to have a Reiki. I'm going to have a numerology. I'm going to have sacred numbers. So all kind of, you know, beautiful, beautiful subjects and topics that also help a lot of recognizing your depression and anxiety and help you to heal. And also I'm writing my book, and that's my main boyfriend right now, my book. So yeah, that's my focus and now my move, because I'm moving to a new place. So it's a lot of things happening to me right now.
A lot of excitement.
A lot. Yes.
A lot of excitement. Well, I love everything that you're doing, and I'm so excited for you. And I'm really excited that I got to hang out with you this hour and talk to Angeline. It's like the whole old crew back together again. And it was a lot of fun. So thank you.
And you know what, Kia, when I'm down, I always remember her. I know, always remember her story. Like, you know, if she can't, I can't. And because every single woman, if they're listening to us, every single woman, we have moments that we are down. And if you're going through a breakout, divorce, separation, is the most difficult and painful moment for anybody is hearing us. Very, very. They take years from you. So be patient and be gentle with yourself when you're going through these situations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Keeping busy really helped me. Yes. Get through my divorce.
Yes.
And I've taken a lot of time to heal, but that's good, right? Because then when I'm ready to get into a relationship, I will bring all of my baggage with me.
Right. You know how powerful women, how we are so powerful that we cry through one eye and the other eye, we are trying to survive and do stuff to keep it, to keep going. And even with the whole thing crying, we keep going. Sometimes I cry a lot in the morning and I have my show the next day. I come to my show the next day. Or if I'm crying and I have to go some places, you wash your face and go. And that's what a man say this, the woman is so powerful that in a minute she can be crying and the next minute she can be doing anything she needs to do.
I think that's so true. I mean, because you have to. Sometimes you just have to, as we said in the Navy, suck it up. You don't feel your feelings. It just means sometimes you have to compartmentalize them so that you can hustle and do what you have to do, and then go back and address them when you can. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's done so often. So anyways,
thank you so much for being here.
I love you, honey. And thank you everybody for watching. It's about that time we wrap it up. I appreciate your time and you watching the show. Please like and share. Tell your friends. Come watch us live. If you want to be part of the conversation, you can ask questions. You can put your comments. As you can see, we include them in the show. And as I said, if you've made it this far, you are part of our soul tribe. So just subscribe and set your notification bell so you know when we come live, because sometimes I throw in extra episodes with special guests. If you're watching on Facebook, make sure you like our page and set your notification so you know when we come live. And thanks for watching. I appreciate you. I will see you next week with another amazing guest. I am Kia Baker, the host of the Female Veterans Podcast and Woman Warrior Stories for the Veterans Channel. That's at theveteranschannel.com. And next to me is a beautiful, talented, successful, amazing woman.
Gloria Goldberg. This is Gloria Goldberg, the founder of the podcast Unbreakable Life with Glory. We're talking about depression, anxiety, and PTSD, and also the founder and the creator of the bilingual show, The Gloria, where I also talk about the same topics.
I love that you're bringing that, you know, in Spanish to the community there. It's just such good work you're doing, and I'm so proud of you, and I love you so much. I just wanted to say that.
Thank you so much. It's like an honor to hear that. Thank you.
Aww. Until next time. Bye for now.
Bye.